There's a formula to it. A very simple formula.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Fuck the prime time, bitch!
Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Hey guys, welcome to the newest episode of Horror Thoughts. Today we're going to talk about an interesting kind of idea, which is the scariest or maybe most intense scenes in movies that aren't horror movies. Because, you know, different genres can play with different sort of ideas and feelings. And so something being scary doesn't necessarily have to be in a scary movie. And so we both have a few things to kind of go through. This was actually Scott's idea, so if he wants to start with one.
I didn't really make a list. I just kind of jotted some things down I remember creeping me out. And I feel like I should put it as my first one as the introduction, because it is the introduction to movies as a kid used to scare me. Like the production companies
used
to terrify me.
Yeah.
It would just be a little weird girl just drumming in like a skirt, and like it would give me nightmares, or it would just be lightning going off. And I don't know why production companies feel the need to make this weird phantasm style elaborate fucking thing. Like, just say your company, like Johnson Productions, but instead they got like a weird girl on fire riding a unicorn that, and it's like, I don't understand. And they got like 18 of them. They used to terrify me with that on top of the, was it called THX or something? The sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hated that. It scared me to death as a kid.
No, yeah. The one that got to me as a kid was, I think you mentioned this, the lightning one, where it was like in like a glass ball and then it would just like explode. And just the sound of it was so intense.
Yeah. They always freaked me out before the movie even started. So that's kind of my opener. I figured that was a good way to start it off for me.
Yeah. So I also just had a bunch of stuff sort of jotted down. This is honestly kind of a weird topic for me, or a difficult one, because I don't really get like super scared that easily. I don't know if I'm just desensitized because of how much horror I've seen, but there isn't a lot that really gets to me. So some of this is kind of like you, where it was like what kind of maybe got to me as a kid. So the first one, and it was just a random thing that came to my mind. I don't remember what it was. It was either a trailer or just like a commercial. It was for one of the live action 101 Dalmatian movies. And this commercial or whatever ended with like a really tight close up of Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil, just like maniacally laughing and like lightning maybe flashed. And maybe it's like a quick cut, but I don't know what it was, but because I don't remember it that well, but I remember it really got to me as a kid. It really like freaked me out.
Oh, that's so funny. A close up of Glenn Close. You're like, oh God, I can't. That's funny. I'm the same as you, as far as, especially now in age, nothing's going to scare me to where once I turn the movie off, it's going to stick with me, or I'm going to be scared, or I'm not even really that jumpy. So I kind of picked things that scared me as a kid, but also ones that I can just appreciate for being extremely unnerving in a setting that it's not supposed to be. Like on here, I got American History X when he does the curb stomp scene. I don't know if you've seen that movie before. Mm-mm. So they do this entire, do you know anything about that movie?
No.
So it's basically just like a, it's like a, follows a white supremacist group and all the bad things they do. And there's one part, and it's not spoiling anything of the movie, but it's one of the early scenes and it's black and white. And it's really aggressive, and there's a lot of this commotion going on outside, and he walks outside and sees someone breaking into his car, and he grabs him and drags him at gunpoint to a curb and just starts going off on him with all this racist stuff and puts his mouth on the curb and just heel stomps him right in the back of the head right at the beginning of the movie. Just poof. And it makes you so uncomfortable. That's how they started it. And again, it's not going to make you jump. It's not horrifying, but you're thinking like, there's no way they're going to show it. There's no way he's going to do this. And they build it up so long that when he finally does it, it makes your skin crawl. And that one sticks with me for a lot of reasons, just because one, it's a well-made scene, but two, the fact that someone would do that to somebody just for something so petty to prove a point makes it really uncomfortable for other reasons.
The next one I have, I don't know, it feels pretty normal. It's from the second Harry Potter movie, The Chamber of Secrets. I do not like spiders. I think they're awful. And I don't know if you've seen Harry Potter, because I know you're not super into that.
A long time ago, I've seen them.
But, you know, there's a sequence where Harry and Ron go into the woods and there's this giant spider named Aragog, and his army of giant spider children. And there's this whole like intense chase sequence where they try to eat Harry and Ron. And I hate it. I hate spiders. I hate giant spiders. They're gross. I hate it.
You ever seen Arachnophobia with Jeff Daniels?
No.
Oh man.
I don't watch spider stuff.
Can't do it at all. Yeah. That one would be your worst nightmare. I can't think of, I've seen the Harry Potters a couple times, but I can't really think of it. The only thing I can remember is that dude who had a head on the back of his head, and the three-headed dog is like all I can remember from those movies.
That's the first one. Those are both from the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. I remember that one. I have one of my all-time favorite movies. Maybe you could consider this a horror, but I would consider it more of a thriller or a mystery, and that's Seven. I think there's so many horrific scenes in that movie that are played to an extreme level. But I think the one that gets everybody is the scene where he's showing the sloth is the seven deadly, there's one of the seven deadly sins. And you just see this completely, what you would assume is a mummified human being. And he's been kept alive for years sitting there, and they finally get up to him and they touch him and he wakes up. And it's so disgusting and horrific, because you've already been on this roller coaster of this movie, and then they get to that scene, and you're just minding your own, thinking he's dead and gross, and all of a sudden, it just looks so painful and gruesome. And the first time I saw that movie, it made me jump out of my skin. I hated it so much. It was so gross. But that whole movie could be on the list. Every kill in that movie is truly disturbing.
Yeah. My next one is kind of, it's a special effect from The Dark Knight. Now, have you seen The Dark Knight?
A long time ago.
But it's Two-Face. It's just the special effect of Two-Face, of just his burned skin. Like, just something about it. It's so off-putting the way that they designed it, where like his eyeball kind of sticks out, because like, you know, it's not like Freddy Krueger where they lathered a bunch of stuff on, so it still is recognizably a face. Like, there's just stuff missing, and you can like see like the tendons kind of moving when he talks. It's a really unnerving visual that really kind of gets under my skin.
So you might know the answer to this. Did they do it practically, or was it more CGI?
Entirely CG.
That's interesting. But they did it well?
Yeah.
That's good. I know I've seen like memes of him before, but I've never, I can't like picture it in my face and in my head. Another one that unnerved me was the scene in Full Metal Jacket that I think everyone knows, even if they haven't seen the movie, whenever he, the suicide scene in Full Metal Jacket. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, so the opening 20 minutes of that movie is funny. It's just they're at basic training and their drill sergeant's yelling at them and saying all kinds of shit, making fun of them. It's real funny. And then it gets dark real quick. And even if you don't watch that movie, you should go watch that scene, because it's one of the best pieces of acting I've ever seen, of someone acting crazy. Like, they essentially broke him at this basic training, and he's sitting in this dark bathroom, this Stanley Kubrick style shot. And he just has this whole monologue about how he's going crazy. And you're like, there's no way he's going to do it. And then out of nowhere, boom, he just ends it right there. And it's just this whole Kubrick buildup with this ambiance in the background, the lighting, and the way they build it and build it and build it. It's been this fun movie up until that point, and it goes immediately dark. And as a kid, and even now, I find that uncomfortable for other reasons now, but especially as a kid, just the setup was so eerie.
So the last one I have it's not from a like specific movie. It's not a moment. It's more of a, like a concept, which is space. And there's a big like asterisk to that. Like it doesn't bother me in like Star Wars or anything like that. Any sort of like big science fiction or even like Alien, like space doesn't bother me there. It's specifically in stuff about like normal human Earth-based astronauts just going up to space to like the moon or whatever. So a movie like Gravity. And I don't know if it's just because maybe stories about the Challenger like got to me as a kid, but like, I don't know, it's so nerve-wracking to me, the idea of like that ship could explode and you know, you're just in space and there's nothing and you would just float and die. Like it's just, I don't know, just something about just going from Earth to like above Earth in space, really like there's like an anxiety thing there that gets to me and I don't know what that is.
Have you ever seen Apollo 13?
No, I haven't.
That movie will give you a damn panic attack. You don't need to watch that movie. If you hate space and things going wrong, that movie, you might have a heart attack watching that one. That one is like, stressful.
And like I do like enjoy the movies. Like I like Gravity, but it is like a real like intense thing where I'm like, I do not like this. I just watched one on Netflix a few months ago. I don't remember the title of it, but it starred Anna Kendrick, which is gonna be real. That's probably the only reason I clicked on it. And it was way more intense than I was ready for. I thought it was gonna be like a silly thriller, and it was not a silly thriller. It was so good though.
It's safe to say that all these people that have been taking these public rides to space recently in the last couple months, you're not going to be one of those people signing up for that.
No, they're idiots and they're wasting money.
You wouldn't want to go to space?
I guess I would really want to be guaranteed that it would work.
You'd want it to be kind of like airplanes are today.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I want to be sure this thing is not going to explode. And if I don't have to, like, if I could do it in like a tourist way where I'm not expected to like do work or go outside.
Yeah.
But like, and like a sightseeing kind of way for like a day, like, sure, maybe. So I guess what Bezos did, which was just go up and then go right back down.
Well, last weekend they had a group of four that aren't astronauts that went up there and they're staying up there for 3 days.
I don't know if I do that. Like you said, I feel like you see what you could see
in 1 day. That's my thing.
Like you go up there, like
20 minutes, you're like darkness, Earth, moon. Okay, we did it. Great.
It's pretty.
It's cool. Cool. Unique. I've already got my selfie. We're good. I'm out. Yeah.
It's gravity.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's. Oh yeah, I would go, but I wouldn't want to go for 3 days because once you've done it, you've done it. You're like, okay, I got it. You're not going anywhere cool. You're not seeing anything.
It's funny because it used to be a really like, especially as a kid, it used to be a really like romantic or like fun idea. The idea of like going into space and that one day we're going to live on the moon.
Yeah.
And like, and I enjoyed that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know if you watched, I'm sure you probably did, but you know, like the Disney Channel original movies, like when you were a kid, and I watched those, and there was one about that one girl that like lived on the moon or whatever.
Oh, damn it! I know what you're talking about. I can see it in my head. Shit! I can't think of the name of that movie. I can.
Yeah,
see
me
it.
Neither. But it used to be like a really fun idea, and then the older I got, I was like, no, that's stupid. I don't want to be on the moon.
Yeah, I would go. It's crazy to think that at one point in history, like airplanes were viewed like we view spaceships now. People were like, that's crazy getting in a plane. We're like, it's crazy to go to space. Whereas in 100 years from now, it might be like a typical thing.
Yeah.
Like this is totally not we're down to the last of our list, but I've always thought this is like the craziest thing. People thought that when the steam engine came out, that it was so scary that they had no technology on it, that it would go so fast, that they have an article published in Britain at the time that they said a woman's uterus could fall out if they sat in a train long enough because it moved so fast.
That's, oh my God.
They said if you go up to a speed of over 50 miles an hour for that long, her uterus could fall out. And that's some bold journalism right there.
That is why they lost the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. And it's,
we just spooked him with steam.
Yeah. All we have was a steam engine. Like, oh, we can't have our women on there. We'll have no more children. Yeah. That's how people are going to see spaceships for the next couple of years. And then 100 years from now, everyone will be doing it. Think about how little science there was back then or proof of anything than just to have the nerve to be like, you know what I'm going to write? I got a hypothesis about this.
People do that today. So people are just dumb.
Yeah. People just have insane. Think about all the people going to the moon now. And those people are going to be like, it's still flat, bro. Like, all right. You're right. Thousands of people have kept their mouths shut for 100 years. It's flat. The biggest one is, I'm like, what do you have to gain? Like, if we found out it's flat today, what changes? We'd throw away globes? Like, what? the globe industry
just dies.
Yeah, that sliver of the market selling globes and atlases is done for. Like, what changes? Nothing.
Oh, flat earthers.
Yeah, it just... It's insane. I know that's not on. I guess we talked about space, so I guess it is on topic, but good Lord. Some other things I wrote down that are not really big, but I can kind of remember them is in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, for whatever reason. I can remember there's one scene where this guy is, I can't remember why he wants them, but he wants to steal these kids and take them to like this princess queen. And so he dresses up with all these toys and he's like, hello, children, would you like the toys? And he lures all these kids in like 1968, too. So the acting's not very great. So it's just this guy lingering. Good. And then they're in their basement looking at him and he just peeks his head down and stares at him. He's like, I got candy and all these things. And they run into this cage, and then he just takes off with them. That's in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That's a family musical. That is... That's terrifying. That and Willy Wonka when they take the boat ride.
Oh, the tunnel.
The tunnel.
That's the weirdest scene.
It's so creepy because you just got Gene Wilder just staring at you and it's all these colors going off.
They just start screaming at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
There are a lot of kids' movies with like scenes that are just like, oh, that was brutally intense out of nowhere.
It was unnerving for no apparent reason.
A lot of the early Disney had that. Oh, like the, have you seen Pinocchio?
A very long time. When he turns into the donkey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they never get turned back. They're just donkeys now.
That's just them forever.
It's so scary.
Yeah, it's, there's so many things. Like when you think, like you said, when you think back on those movies, you're like, oh my God, that's pretty dark. I'm trying to think of other.
Satan just shows up in Fantasia.
Fantasia. I can't
think. That's like a musical anthology they did.
Yeah. Is that the one with Mickey Mouse and stuff in it? Am I thinking?
Yeah. And the Sorcerers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of those is just Satan.
Just
out of nowhere. It's like, oh, it's a beautiful sequence. Like, it's really well animated and cool. But at the same time, it's like, wow.
Disney movies are kind of brutal when you think about all the subliminal things they've hid in their movies and stuff that people show. You're like, oh my God, guys, come on. Alice in Wonderland, that whole movie is trippy.
Yeah.
That's when I could see freaking a kid out because there's a lot going on. But Pinocchio, yeah, you're right. That one is kind of weird. You don't ever come back. That's you. That's you forever. And we're just showing children this.
Just a donkey. Not even like a talking donkey. He's just a donkey now.
You're not even like Donkey from Shrek. You're just there. That's funny. I don't really have anything else. A lot of war movie stuff. I know that's like, I wouldn't say it scares me, but it's something like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. How well it's shot of them storming the beach is super chilling, to the point where when they screened it for veterans, they left the theater because they're like, I could smell the fuel. I could smell the bodies. Like, that's how realistic it is. And there's one scene in that movie where he's fighting this German, and the German's on top of him and slowly just putting his dagger and just push. And you know, it's going to go into his chest, and it's so slow. He just pushed it. It takes 30 seconds. And the whole time you're like, no, 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 no. And it's just stuff like that. Really. Okay, I wouldn't say it scares me, but it definitely makes me feel unnerved, because that was a legit thing that happened to people.
Yeah.
But that's all I got for this, unless you got another one, if you got any horror news.
Yeah, so I had a couple more news things real quick. So it just got announced that Shudder is doing a thing with Elvira. Do you know who Elvira is?
I'm surprised she's still with us, but yes.
She just turned 70. Her birthday was the other day.
Wow.
But for those who don't know, she was a sort of TV host, sort of along the lines of Joe Bob Briggs. And she would just host horror movies on whatever cable channel she was on, and sort of do, like, you know, different segments, introducing the movies, giving trivia. And she is this sort of like big sort of over the top character. But Shudder is doing a sort of little mini revival, because I guess it's the 40th anniversary of her show. And so I think it's this upcoming Saturday, at the time of recording. So the 25th. So it'll probably have aired already. But they're going to stream it live Saturday night. Like they do Joe Bob, because Shudder also brought back Joe Bob Briggs, and they do his stuff live too. But with Joe Bob, they normally they just put it right on the app after, like, the live sort of stream of it. And in the press release for the Elvira thing, they specifically use the term on demand, which typically means paying for it.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because Shudder's never done that before. So I'm not sure what that's about, or if that's just like a miscommunication in a press release. So I think that's kind of weird. She'll be hosting four movies. We don't know what they are, because like with Joe Bob, they keep them secret until they air. Joe Bob's been doing it on Shudder for a long time, though. So there's a lot of stuff that's already been covered. It'll be interesting to see if it's stuff that's already on Shudder, or if it's stuff that will be joining Shudder as a result of this. Because obviously their library is limited to what they can use, because it has to be what Shudder can use the rights to. But I like this stuff. I like, both of us are a little too young. We kind of missed this era a little bit of these hosts. They were kind of over and done with by the time we were getting into this genre, I think. Like, even Mystery Science Theater, I think, would have been over by the time I was getting into this stuff. But I like it. I think it's kind of fun. And I've really enjoyed watching the Joe Bob stuff on Shudder, because it's a fun way to kind of discover stuff you haven't seen. Because obviously Joe Bob shows a bunch of stuff that I've seen a million times. But one of the downsides of streaming is that there's so much stuff that it's like, I don't know where to start. Like, I sometimes go to Shudder and I'm like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Because there's like 1,000 titles. Yeah. And so it's nice when Joe Bob is like, here is this and here is what it is. And like, I've found some great, great stuff watching the Joe Bob streams. So hopefully the Elvira one will be good.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to go to like their Shudder TV or whatever and just put one on, because there's too many.
I love that they have that.
Yeah.
More streaming services need that, where it's essentially just like hitting the shuffle button.
Yeah. I really like that, because they have they've done studies on it now. It's called paralysis by analysis. It's where you have so many things that you do nothing.
Yeah. You just sit there and click for 2 hours and like, I'm just going to go to bed.
If you have too many options, you'll pick zero things. Whereas if you have a limited array, you'll make a decision.
Or you'll just go to like the comfort food you've always watched, which is why so many people just watch The Office or Friends just over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But the last thing, and this might be out by the time this episode comes out, but we got our first trailer for Amazon Prime's I Know What You Did Last Summer television series. It is an odd trailer. It's over a minute long. It's like a minute 15. And I'd say a good 90% of it is just hot teenagers / young adults partying. It doesn't look like any sort of horror thing at all. If I just showed it to you, you would have no idea it had anything to do with I Know What You Did Last Summer. There's like one little bit at the very end of the trailer where it's like, okay, well, that's the thing at least. It's a weird trailer. I don't know what the show is going to be. This is not a good premise for a TV show. I imagine this thing is going to be padded all to hell. And I am not looking forward to this.
To go off that, I don't know if we touched on it, but I do know that I think it starts in at the time of listening to this, I think it's this upcoming Saturday, maybe is at the time you're listening. It's the Chucky is making a TV series.
The sci-fi heard about that series.
On sci-fi. Yeah, I probably will not be watching it, but y'all might want to. So I'm curious to see if they're going to use remake Chucky.
It is. Or it's going to be a direct sequel to the most recent sequels, the direct-to-video stuff. So like Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky. Okay. It's picking up from there.
That'll be interesting. That's from what I've seen with Chucky fans, those are very controversial. Some people love them or hate them. So that'll be interesting to see. I might watch an episode. Yeah, I'll probably check out the first episode.
There's a weird rights thing with Chucky, which is why the remake and the TV show kind of got developed at the same time, because one of the original writers has kind of stayed with the series all the way through, and he has some kind of ownership over it. I don't think he's a very good writer, but it's neither here nor there. But whoever did the remake, I think it was Universal, or maybe it wasn't, I can't remember. They somehow had the rights to remake the first film somehow. And so that's why they went ahead and did that. But this writer guy still has the rights to like do whatever he wants with it, which is a very confusing, weird thing.
Yeah, Don Mancini is the dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think he might have directed the direct-to-video ones.
Yeah, so he wrote a lot of them, and then
co-wrote.
Co-wrote rather.
And I then just want to be a jerk.
Seed of Chucky which is usually hailed as the absolute worst film of the franchise. And it's not very good. That was the first one he wrote and directed. Like, he did the whole thing. And after that great film, he came out with Curse, and that was just pretty decent. And then he came out with Cult, and people hated that one. So he's definitely, I can't even say hit or miss, because he hadn't really hit. He'll make contact or he'll swing and miss. That's about all I can do. I'm not saying he's knocking it out of the park, but
I did not like Curse at all, so I didn't even bother to watch Colt.
I didn't mind Curse. I thought it was all right.
I thought it was lame. But I just think Chucky's lame.
Chucky is lame. I hate so the reason I never watched the series is because as a kid, I hated the first one, because I'm like,
agreed.
I would kick a doll's ass. Like, that's what I thought every time I see it. I'm like, I would kick, because I get it. I like in the newer ones, I guess, you can see where he's not overpowering them as a doll. He's like setting ways up to kill them, or he sneaks up on them. I'm like, okay, that's kind of an idea. A doll that lives could sneak up on you and kill you. But in the first one, she's like, talk to me, damn it. And he's like, you're stupid, bitch. And starts slapping her with doll. And she's like, oh, God. Like, it's a fucking doll still, regardless. It does help.
Curse and Cult that they put their lead character in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Just to, like, even the odds even more so.
Yeah.
Of the original series of movies, because I know we both really dug the remake. The only ones I think are worth anything is probably two and then Bride.
I
don't love those movies.
I really like two. I shouldn't say I really like, but I guess as far as the series is concerned, I really like two because the character dynamic is really good, and Bride because it's taken the piss out of itself, essentially.
Yeah.
And that
director's really fun. He's also did Freddy versus Jason. So he knows how to do kind of like,
I didn't know he made that.
Yes, Ronnie Yu, yes. And he I don't know, he has just a fun, fast-paced style that's easy to get into.
Yeah, I think Chucky is best in that. When you try to make him like the first one where he's supposed to... The first one I liked more as an adult now because I was more afraid for the mom. I couldn't imagine, you have your kid and these people keep dying and he's telling you he's not doing it, but all evidence is showing your kid is killing people and she has to kind of come to terms with that. I thought that was creepier than the doll itself. Once I hit the Chucky part, I'm like, this is stupid. Just kick it. Like, it's
just kick the damn thing. And some of the deaths are like ridiculous. Like that chick that just trips out a window.
Out a window. Yeah.
Like he hits her with like a toy hammer.
Yeah.
And she just goes, ah.
That's why the later ones I like better because they accept that they're ridiculous and they just be ridiculous.
Yeah, they just kind of owned it.
Yeah, that's how you need to be. The second one was good. The third one was pointless.
I like showing people the third one because there's that really funny scene where it's the paintball fight, but Chucky has replaced the paintball rounds with live ammo, which you can't do. It's impossible. But and then that like nerd guy gets shot because, and I don't know why, it's just a joke for me, I guess, but I always just love to like blare out the song from Dear Sister when that dude dies. Cause I just think it's really appropriate. Do you know that?
Dear Sister.
That sketch. Oh.
What sketch?
The Dear Sister thing.
I guess
SNL. Oh, you should look it up.
Dear Sister.
It's a really funny SNL sketch where they're making fun of one of those cheesy CW shows.
Oh, that's funny. I'm gonna have to watch that.
It's like basically like in the show, there's a really dramatic moment where like a character gets like shot and this song comes in and it is the silliest thing ever. And so they do this like really elaborate parody of it. That is the best thing ever. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I'm going to have
to. So I always play that song when that character dies because it's super appropriate.
That one's kind of ridiculous. It's definitely not the worst. I don't think.
No, Seed is the worst. Seed is a lot.
Seed has got too much going on. It's the concept is fine. I like that Jennifer Tilly plays.
Jennifer Tilly.
plays herself. But. And the Glenda thing, I guess, would have been. I get what they were saying. Like, it's a doll. Like, it's not a man or a woman. I get it. But they just went about it so weird, and it just keeps pissing its pants. And Red Man's in it for. There's so much going on with that. Yeah, there's so much going on with that movie.
Have you seen Chucky's like WWE promo thing?
Shut the fuck up. Was he in the WWE?
I might have been like WWE, but you know, there are different things. But like, there's some sort of like weird clip where he's like challenging one of the big wrestlers.
I was
it's so weird
because the WWE brings over celebrities and stuff to wrestle. And I'm like, did they really make a fucking Chucky doll wrestle?
No, he's just like on like a TV screen.
Okay.
There's like Chucky on like the screen. And then like the wrestler's like talking to the big screen.
Okay, dude, I was about to say, if they threw a fucking doll at a grown man in a wrestling ring and he's like, oh, just
throw the doll in there.
Just throw it, it bounces off his head and he just falls over. That would, did you ever watch, it made me think of on MTV, did you ever watch Celebrity Deathmatch?
A little bit growing up, yeah.
I'd be willing to bet if you went through those series, they had to have done like Jason versus Chucky or Freddy or something.
Yeah.
They did like Fred Durst versus Kid Rock. shit like
the
that.
The two ones I remember the most was they did Kiss versus like one of the boy bands, like either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. They did one of them versus Kiss, and they did the singer of Creed versus I think that maybe the singer of Pearl Jam, because they have like such kind of similar voices.
I bet so that one's them. Good.
Those are the two I remember.
Do you remember? I think it was Mad TV. I think it was Mad TV where Kiss fought Michael Jackson.
I love that episode of Mad TV. Mad TV is super hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some Mad TV where I didn't laugh a single time, but that's one of their better episodes. That's a really good, they have a few really good Kiss sketches.
Yeah, that's the one I can remember. Mad TV, yeah. It had, you're right, it has some good ones. Like, I used to love the Kenny Rogers skits. I always thought those were funny.
I always liked their Coldplays. I always thought they did really solid parodies of Coldplay.
I never saw the Coldplay one.
I think that might have been later.
Yeah, I watched a little the earlier, more earlier Mad TV.
I watched one from the first season that Neve Campbell hosted, because initially they had like hosts. And I only watched it because of how much I love Neve Campbell. Like, straight up just didn't laugh once. Like, it was never funny. I was so sad.
They definitely are hit or miss. You don't really know what you're going to get when you would watch those. But I can always remember the Kiss one with Michael Jackson. So ridiculous.
My favorite, they do like the Charlie Brown thing where they're like getting like candy out of like a, why can't I think of it? Like just like a pumpkin pail. You know, and because it's such a thing to happen to Peter, where he's the one that has to be like, I got a rock. Like, yeah, that would happen to Peter.
That would
that sums up this band dude. Dynamic really well.
I got a rock. Ace would probably be the one with all the eye holes cut in it on the Charlie Brown skit, because he's off in his own fucking world.
Speaking of Kiss, I think Family Guy did such good Kiss parodies.
Oh my god.
And my favorite is like there's like a commercial with Kiss and Ace just says something wild and Gene just goes, why don't you just go sit in the corner or something?
And while he's talking in the middle of Gene talking, he just goes, rock and roll.
Why don't you just go sit in the corner or something? Love that. And again, it is just like, yep, that is exactly what they're like.
Or was it they do Kiss Save Santa?
Oh, Kiss Save Santa is so good.
Lois dated Gene. I remember that was one for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do. There's one where Peter takes Lois to a Kiss concert and they're in the front row and they're singing Rock and Roll All Night, and she doesn't, and she's like, and live all of the time, and then they get kicked out of the concert and beat up by the fans.
I should have known you weren't really a Kiss fan. No one wants to be Peter Criss, not even Peter Criss.
That's such a good line. Totally off topic, but seeing Kiss, I heard like the most odd, we're obviously younger people at a Kiss concert, and it was never more evident than when I went, because I heard just at the gate to get in, I heard two dudes comparing how old they were and how many screws they had in their body holding their injuries together. One guy's like, I got 9 screws in my knee. And he's like, oh man, I had to get 32 staples in my back. Because I'm like, I don't even know if I can get through this metal detector. I'm like, oh my God, guys. Like, I get it. Y'all are older, but y'all are not making it look good. And there was two 30-year-old dudes behind me. They were like late 20s, early 30s. And one of them was like a huge Kiss fan. He's like, I'm here to fucking see Kiss, bro. It's just going to be great. And his friend goes, man, we're not here to see Kiss. You know, I'm here to just get laid. And I remember thinking, like, you came to a Kiss concert in 2021 to try and find some hot ass. That is a mistake, sir.
That would never work in the entire history of Kiss's career.
Yeah. He's like, I'm here for Kiss. His friend's like, dude, I'm just here to get laid. I'm like, okay. Yeah, there's
good
a lot
luck
of
luck with that.
Good luck. I was like, it was so off. My dude, Luke Bryan's gonna be here like tomorrow. Like, come to that one. He'd probably be better off there. Just go to these 70-year-old ladies listening to Kiss. Like, what's going on? How you doing?
What are you doing later? Bingo.
I bet you've been sleeping with the band since 73. What's going on? It's so, just of all concert, I'm like, I couldn't imagine. He showed up that day, put on his clothes, like, yeah, I guess I'll go, man. I'll just see if I can meet some girls.
At any concert, that seems weird. There's a time and place to pick people up. Concert is not one.
Yeah,
of
he's
them.
Like, I'm gonna take him home. I'm like, there's nothing I would hate more than picking up a girl at a concert and then sitting through 2 hours of traffic trying to get out the parking lot. You're tired. You've already spent so much money on concessions and all this other bullshit. Now you're gonna get home. It's 1 a.m. and be like, get out of my house. I want to go to sleep.
I never buy concessions because I buy merch.
Yeah. Oh my God. My nephew wanted merch and we were waiting in line and then we ended up leaving and the line and we came back, it was too long. I was like, dude, I'm not getting you nothing. I'll buy you a shirt online. Cause the one he wanted is a hoodie for $80.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I could buy you 5 shirts for that price that have Kiss on it. I promise you, dude, I'll get you.
You could literally go to like Walmart or Target and they've got Kiss shirts.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like
$10.
I was like, I love you, dude, but do you want the bottomless popcorn for $12 and a soda for $6? Or do you want a shirt? Because I can't do both. I can't keep buying. It's so crazy how expensive that stuff is. But hearing the old man off in the parking lot about how many bolts they had holding their body together and hearing the young guy my age being like, I'm just here to find chicks. Wrong concert, my friend.
Some.
Wrong concert. This is going to be nothing but dudes reliving their teenage years.
There's literally an app designed for you to pick people up.
It's not
you don't need to do it at the Kiss concert.
It's not 1978, bro. You can just sit at home if that's all you want. You don't got to go to a Kiss concert.
You spend how much money on a ticket?
Yeah. I could get it if you're 17 and it's 1975. Like, dude, let's go to the concert. Like, yeah, the fan base is going to be young. But he's like, nah.
And tickets are $5.
And tickets are $5. Let's go to that fan base that the youngest woman there is probably 48 and with a biker. And we'll hang out. I was like, so it was the most ridiculous statement I heard at a Kiss concert. But also, Paul kept fucking up the city. He eventually stayed the wrong city the whole time. It's like, okay, I'll go.
What was it?
So the concert it's still in Washington, but it's like a Southern Washington town. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe it's outside of It's not close to Portland, but Portland's the nearest bigger city.
Okay.
But it's definitely not Portland.
But and it just kept saying Portland.
All right, Portland. I'm like, that's like 45 minutes that way in the other state. like that's definitely not right. You'd been better off saying Seattle or something. And we're 2 hours south of that. But it's like, he's like, all right, Portland. It's like, not even the same state, my friend. Not even in Oregon. But
I saw them once. They played a festival called the Chicago Open Air Festival with Rob Zombie, which is why we drove out there. It was like a 12-hour drive. It wasn't quite 12. I think we did it in like 10 or 11.
Man.
But it wasn't quite in Chicago. It was like a suburb, like right outside Chicago. But when the festival's called Chicago, I think he just,
yeah,
you say Chicago. Cause no one knew where we were.
Yeah. This one was in like the middle of a farm town. It was so random. You're passing on these. You're literally surrounded by farms and there's one venue.
Well, this is like the third leg of the tour US. So they're just hitting small markets now.
Yeah. The venue and
was it outdoors?
Mm-hmm, like an amphitheater.
I think that's all they're doing right now. I think because of COVID, I think all they're doing is outdoor amphitheaters.
Yeah. It was definitely a smaller venue than I thought it was going to be. And there was a lot of open seats. Like,
yeah,
there was 4 or 5 rows in front of me, there was just nothing but open seats for 4 or 5 consecutive rows.
It's just kind of reality of COVID right now.
Yeah. That
and Kiss overcharging, but
yeah, I was about to say, I wonder how much is that and versus people just being like, no, I'm not paying. Like I saw a dude who had a 2000 farewell tour shirt. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. 21 years ago.
Yep.
My nephew was like, you think this will be the last time I get to see him? I'm like, who knows, dude? Who knows?
Because like logically, you're like, well, they can barely do it now.
Yeah. So- when I saw him for the first time 10 years ago, I came to terms as like, this is probably the last time that's the only time I'll ever get to see that. 10 years later, I'm taking my nephew to be like, let's go, dude. Let's go see it. So I'm like, dude, 10 years from now, you might be taking your little brother to see it. I don't know.
Who knows?
They might still be here.
Well, they keep threatening that Kiss will continue just without Gene and Paul.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen, but you know, we'll see. I'll just go pay $8 to see a Kiss cover band somewhere else. Or Mini Kiss. I'll go see Mini Kiss. I'll do
Mini Kiss. If there is like a Kiss 2, it will just be a Vegas act. There's no way they can tour that. It'll be a Vegas thing.
It has to be. I get the idea. Sort of like
with Elvis.
Yeah, it would need to be a Vegas mainstay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they do well, but...
They wouldn't be able to tour.
No, they're not that big.
Like clubs, maybe.
Even then, I'd go see someone's Blizzard of Oz cover band or something before I went and saw that. Well, Jesus, we went down a rabbit hole, but yeah, I don't got any more on my list. So we got through the news. You got anything you need to plug? Anything people should be looking out for? You know, you said you got some October stuff you might be doing, the Halloween series and all that.
Yeah, you just follow me on my YouTube and Instagram. It's just my name, Sean Blumenshine. I'm sure it'll be linked below, like usual. Yeah.
Everything's linked below. As you're listening to this, I'm on day 6 of my 31 days of Halloween. I'm doing on my YouTube. It's a new video a day, so you can go check that out. It's linked down below. But I'm horrible at signing these off, so I'm going to pass it over to Sean because he started it, and I'll let him do the awkward closeout because I suck at them.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.